Welcome again to our study on Know Your Bible. And in this session, we are looking at the book of Daniel. That man who was much beloved, that man who was counted amongst the three righteous men of the Old Testament, Noah, Daniel, and Job. A man that was deeply pious, a man that had the promise at the end of his life that he would stand in God's appointed place in heaven for him. In other words, like Joshua said, I have done everything that I was ordained to do. And Daniel certainly finished his course. And so he's a delightful model for each one of us. Well, Daniel was taken prisoner and brought into Babylonian captivity during the first deportation under Jehoiakim. Daniel was of the royal seed. And when he came to Babylon, the king instructed that all the young men who were without blemish and who had the ability to understand science and the ability to learn the language of the Chaldeans, that they be segregated and put into, as it were, a training program so that they would be equipped for government. This was the policy of empires when they indeed overran other countries. They would take from them qualified young people that they could take back to their universities or their colleges, train them, then send them back to their own countries to govern them. Through that, these empires were able to accomplish their goal, not only to reign over these countries that they had subjugated, but these countries would be good producers, would be at peace, and would enrich the conquering powers. That's what the British did, the British Empire. They brought qualified candidates from the countries that we governed, with the result is that basically they were lands of peace. Well, Daniel was one that was taken, and right from the very start, you see, we have to realize that Babylon is the source of all spiritism, idolatry, and so forth. And so everything that was eaten was offered up to these local gods. And so Daniel said, please, I don't want the food that's offered up to local gods. I just want simple food. And the man who was in charge of these young men said, I'll lose my head if you look worse than the others because I haven't nourished you correctly. Daniel said, give us 10 days and see how we look. And after 10 days, just eating lentils and the like, it was observed that Daniel and his three friends were fairer, fatter, flourishing more than all those who were feeding off the king's table. And so the governor, you know, gave them permission to indeed continue in that way. And there we see, you know, the heart of Daniel. He desired purity. He desired holiness. And so he continued. Well, God gave unto him wisdom and knowledge and understanding, gave it to these three friends, but also to Daniel. He gave him interpretation of visions. Now then, there comes a time, you see, when Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon, and he has a dream. And he forgets a dream. But it's so important to him. He has to know the dream and the interpretation of the dream. And of course, all the wise men of Babylon are incapable of telling him that dream. He said, nobody has ever asked or demanded of wise men such a thing. Tell us the dream, we'll give you the interpretation. But Nebuchadnezzar said, no. He said, I've forgotten it. But he said, the proof of whether you can give the interpretation is whether you can tell me the dream. And of course, the wise men couldn't do that. And all were ordained to be slain by Nebuchadnezzar. And that included Daniel and his three friends. Well, Daniel and his three friends sought the Lord and asked him, you know, oh Lord, preserve our lives by showing us the dream and give us the interpretation. Well, that night, God gave unto Daniel the dream and the interpretation. So he comes into Nebuchadnezzar and says, look, I can give it to you. And Nebuchadnezzar said, well, what is it? And so he said, you know, you were sleeping, O king, and the dreams on your head on the pillow were this. You saw an image. Head of gold, chest of silver, loins of brass, legs of iron, and feet a mixture of iron and clay. And he said also, you saw then a stone carved out without hands, hitting the feet of the image and bringing it down. Nebuchadnezzar commanded that odors be brought before Daniel for what he had done. Then Daniel went on to say, now this is the interpretation. This image represents the kingdoms of this world. He said, the first one, the head of gold, is you, O Nebuchadnezzar. But afterwards, there will come another empire, and it will be of less quality than yours. And of course, we know that was the king of Persia. And then afterwards, the king of Persia would be defeated by the king represented by brass. And that was Alexander the Great of Greece. And then the legs of iron, the Roman Empire. And then those feet of iron and clay were interpreted thusly, that in the end days there would arise 10 kings, and then at that time would come Christ's kingdom, bringing down all these other kingdoms. Now, the book of Daniel starts with that foundational vision. And as we go on into the book, we find that there are other visions that give greater clarity to that first vision. And essentially, I'm going to bring out points because, obviously, we cannot go into detail. But essentially, what it was this. That, again, other visions were given. And these visions revealed many important, if I could say this, aspects of the last days. There was a vision given concerning a he-goat with a notable horn. And this he-goat ran against a ram with two horns. Destroyed it, and stamped on it. And the interpretation was that the Persian Empire would be destroyed by the first king of Greece. Well, we have the advantage of living in a time when all that is history in the past. And so we have the ability to interpret this with great clarity and with detailed knowledge. Who destroyed the Persian Empire but Alexander the Great? And then it says that horn, which was the first king, was divided into four, and they were his generals. And essentially, two who were very important to Israel were Seleucid in the north, who governed Syria, and Ptolemy, who governed Egypt. And then we have prophecies given to, if I could say this, Daniel, concerning the events that took place from Cyrus, king of Persia, right down to Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, going through the whole of the Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and right until about 176 BC, the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, who was the type of the Antichrist. Well, then at that time, the Roman Empire takes over. Well, not only that, but then there's another important figure of whom Daniel speaks in his visions. And I want to talk about him now. We call him the Antichrist or the Beast. Well, I want to go back now to other visions that Daniel had that depict this man of sin, as Paul calls him, in great detail, and which show us the time period in which he will arise. Now then, there's another vision that Daniel has of four kingdoms. The first one is Babylon, as we've said. The next is Persia. The third is Greece. And the fourth is this terrible, terrible beast. It's so ferocious, more than all. And that is the Roman Empire. But then, this beast has 10 horns in his head. And Daniel is obsessed in the sense that he wants to know the meaning and the interpretation of this fourth beast. And he is told this, that this beast, of course, will take over from Greece and rule the world. And then he is told that these 10 horns will be 10 kings that will come out of this empire in the last days. Well, the Roman Empire, to a certain extent, has gone and passed away, and yet there is a sense that the Treaty of Rome, which started off the European unity, you know, is sort of reviving the power of that country and must do so for the last days for things to be fulfilled. And out of the old Roman Empire must come 10 kings. 10 kings. And they're mentioned even in the book of Revelation. But after these 10 horns or 10 kings came, another one arose, a little horn, and he was more stout than all the others. And he had a mighty mouth with which he blasphemed God and all those in heaven. This little horn then ruled, as it were, the nations. And this little horn indeed reigned for a time, or will reign for a time, called the Antichrist, until the Ancient of Days comes, the Son of God comes in all his glory, and he will destroy that little horn, or the Antichrist. And so I want to say this, that there are distinct time periods in the Bible, and especially in the book of Daniel, where we are told sequence of events well ordered by God must first occur before the end comes. And so we're looking, amongst other things, for 10 kings to arise out of the old Roman Empire. And when they've come, then will come the Antichrist. Then will come the Antichrist. And he will come up from the sea, as we're told, in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. He will arise. And when we come to the book of Revelation, we'll talk more about him. But you know, something that Daniel says about him is this: he will sit in the temple of God, declaring he is God, confirmed by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And so again, we say this, that in order that these prophecies be fulfilled, well, a temple must be built by the Jews in Jerusalem for these events that have been prophesied by Paul and prophesied by Daniel will come into fulfillment. Now then, I want to look at some other things in Daniel, because they're very interesting indeed. You know, one of the things that the prophets prophesied was this: not only the rising of the Babylonian Empire, but its fall. Its fall. And Jeremiah prophesied of it. Isaiah prophesied of it. They declared that the Persians would indeed overcome the Babylonian Empire. And I want to talk now about the night that the Babylonian Empire fell. Because it fell in a very auspicious manner. You know, Isaiah had prophesied that the moats around, or the rivers around Babylon, would dry up. And it's exactly what happened. Cyrus, who was the general of the armies of the Medes and Persians, he ordered a lake to be dug. And then at that given night in October of 539 BC, he gave the order that the river Euphrates be diverted into this lake. And the result was all the waters dried up around Babylon, and the Medes and Persians could go underneath the gates and take the city. But also something else had been prophesied by Jeremiah, and that was that the inhabitants of Babylon would be drunken at that time. Well, we now come to Daniel chapter 5. And here we see the king of Babylon, Belshazzar. His father, Nabonidus, is the actual king, but he's away in Teman. And he's left his son, Belshazzar, you know, to govern. And they're so lax, the defenders of Babylon. Well, they see, oh, we've got an impregnable city. Cyrus, in fact, had indeed besieged it for 2 years, seemingly without help, you know, and hope of being able to take it. But of course, they didn't know what he was doing, digging this lake to take away the waters that surrounded Babylon. So this particular afternoon and evening, Belshazzar ordains a feast for 1,000 of his lords and ladies. And they're drinking heavily. And then Belshazzar gives a command, bring in the vessels that my grandfather or great-grandfather Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple of Jerusalem. They're brought in with the candlestick there. And then they're drinking. And over against the candlestick, there appears a hand, a finger. And it writes on the plaster of the wall over by the candlestick where it had been placed. Many, many tekel you fasten. Well, the 1,000 guests and the king are shaken. He calls in the magicians. Interpret that for me. They can't. And then the queen mother comes in and says, you know, there's a man of great wisdom, Daniel. Have him come in. Well, they call in Daniel. And they say to Daniel, can you interpret that? And Daniel, in effect, said, well, look, this is the hand of God. And then he gives the interpretation. Many, many tekel you fasten. You are weighed in the balance and found wanting. And then your kingdom will be given to another. But you know, what Daniel said to Belshazzar the king is a solemn warning to us. At the end of our days, we are going to have to come before the judgment seat of Christ. Are we going to hear those same words? Many, many tekel you fasten, weighed in the balance and found wanting. How have we lived? How have we lived like Belshazzar? Contemptuous of the things of God. Daniel warned him. He said, you knew of the ways of God. You knew how God had treated Nebuchadnezzar. How had God treated Nebuchadnezzar? Well, you see, Nebuchadnezzar was so proud that he was walking, although warned of God beforehand, in a dream. And God showing him a tree, and that tree cut down by orders of the holy watchers. And the interpretation given, thou art that tree, repent of your evil ways. And Nebuchadnezzar, a year later, you know, does not repent, walking in the city of Babylon, said, is not this great city built by my power and might? And an angel's voice come down, now is the vision fulfilled. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was cut down. Another heart was given to him. He became a beast. He was kept in the gardens for 7 years in Babylon. And then after 7 years, his senses returned. And then he was restored to his kingdom. And in Daniel chapter 4, you have the testimony, as it were, of Nebuchadnezzar saying there's only one true and living God, and that's the God of Israel. And that was the king of Babylon. Well now, coming back to this terrible night of drunkenness, and Daniel saying to King Belshazzar, you knew what God did to Nebuchadnezzar, your great-grandfather, and yet you yourself did not humble yourself or walk in a manner that was glorifying God. And now you, at the end of your life, it is being said of you that you are weighed in the balance and found wanting. Drunkenness had gone through the whole city, taken the heart of the king, and now he was facing judgment. You know, I want to appeal to you as we close. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of God. And what will God's estimation of our life be? Like that of Belshazzar, weighed in the balance and found wanting. Or shall we hear those beautiful words of Jesus as we have sought to do those things that are right? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy kingdom. I trust that that will be each one of our portion as we wisely walk in the ways of God. God bless you.